brother who was living among other brothers asked Abba Basarion, "What should I do?" The elder replied, "Be silent and do not measure yourself against the others."
I was talking to my spirituality class last Tuesday, and I did what I always do. I blame Oprah. And then I realized Oprah's not the one to blame. Who came before her? Phil Donahue? And then you've got Maury Povich, I think, who has a lot of blame. And I think that what happens is we see all the crazy people out there. Oh, you've got whole networks now, don't you? You've got My Obsession, you've got Hoarders, you've got Intervention, you've got Dr. Drew's Drug Rehab. You've got all of these ways for us to look at people whose lives are worse than ours. And so what do? I say, my life is great compared to them. I don't have to worry about changing. And so I get lulled into a slothful state. I love that translation. The spirit of sloth. Why? Because I've measured myself against the others. Instead of doing what St. Peter said, which is be holy, as God is holy. So I've measured myself against others? No, that's not it.
Be silent. Stay away. But how do we do this?
How do we do this?
Abba Pima said, "There's one sort of person who seems to be silent, but inwardly criticizes other people. Such a person is really talking all the time. Another may talk from morning till night, but says only what is meaningful, and so keeps silent."
I'm trying to keep silent. Silence is one of those catchphrases that we think we know what it means, and so we do it. When I was at seminary, and actually, you know, what at the GTU? There are a few students who always latch onto silence, and they will make a little name tag that says, "I'm not being impolite, I'm just keeping silent." Someone at seminary wore a tag that said, "I'm being silent for the first week of Lent." That's kind of literal. That's kind of literal. And this shows us that it's more than that. Silence is not what you do with the mouth. Silence is what you do with your
mind, what you do with your heart. I didn't put it up here.
I should have. But a desert monastic said that someone who wishes to do ill to his brother can injure his brother with a simple nod. You don't have to speak. It's your relationship with others. So this idea of keeping silence.
And yet, what we have to do is let everything that has breath praise the Lord. This is the way
I think that we can live the Orthodox Christian life in the internet world. Is remember, let every breath praise the Lord. Don't waste your breath criticizing. Don't waste your breath complaining. Praise the Lord. Is Facebook a bad thing? No. It is a bad thing if I hear it happens bullying on there when you make fun of people. That might be junior high and high school kids. None of my friends bully, thank goodness. But it's a fantastic thing for us to congratulate people, to give them encouragement. We are praising the Lord when we are helping our brothers and sisters to do well.
We are praising the Lord when we acknowledge their victories and their wins. St. Nicholas Cabasulus, "Above all things, we may think on Him who is the giver of all the gifts in our life and the lives of others. How great is His beauty, what is His kindness, how He has loved humankind, and how great is His love. When these things which are so beautiful and attractive take possession of the mind and take hold of the soul, it is not easy to contemplate anything else and to transfer a desire to a different object."
Praise the Lord. Alex Haley, the author of Roots, had as a personal motto six words. Let's see if I can remember the six words. Find the good and praise it. And in a sense, since every good and perfect gift comes from above, since we can only do good through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we see good in others, when we see good in other people's lives and we praise it, we're praising the Lord. When we help people, when we help buck them up, we're praising the Lord. The internet, living in the internet's world is tough. But we've got to remember, we were created to be holy. We were created to be instruments fit for the glory of God. We are to praise the Lord with every breath. And that's what it's all about. It's a different context, but we have the same goal. Rejoice in the Lord always. That's the way I'm suggesting today we can think about living the Orthodox life in the internet world. And I have 30 seconds before my allotted time is over. I don't know. So, I think it's noon on the dot. What do you think about it?
Never at the monastery.
Yeah, well, we were saying till noon that if people want to ask some questions, it's our tradition to go over.
Okay. Okay. Then you get to keep an eye on the clock.
Okay.
And I didn't realize that you had a clock there. I see I've got another whole another minute I could have used. Any questions?
Can you put it back to where the person that talks were warning tonight?
What? To what?
The two people talking. Talks at yeah. That one. Thank you.
Yes.
Is the lecture being recorded to an
possibly. Possibly. These are magical things. I don't know how they work. But and then I'm just going to give Mother Melania a copy of my PowerPoint, so that'll be available too. Any thoughts? Yes.
I really think the internet in the end is really about technology itself really taking over our lives. Because my wife just bought a car and there's so much gadget on it that it speaks to us now, and that what we're doing wrong. It has a GPS, and it'll tell us if the brakes are on. And so I knew my washer, I have to program to just wash it. I can't just say, wash. What kind of wash do you want?
Yeah.
And so it's really invasive about what we're doing. And then I would only add that even a computer company like IBM has not defined themselves not as a computer company, but as a life science company. So what that means is for them to do memory chips, you know, they're looking at bacteria as a way to hold memory. So you have this combination of life itself and technology merging. And so they see themselves now as that, not just a computer, but merging life with computer.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's what's happening in this artificial beginning to take hold of us.
Yeah, it's a challenge. And I have told my GPS to be quiet. I have silenced my GPS. I was once driving the Metropolitan around, and he said, go this way, and the GPS said, go this way. And I didn't know who, and I made a bad decision. My GPS. And it was the wrong decision on many levels, and he doesn't let me forget that. I think it's important always. St. Basil, oh, that's another good book that you can get from the bookstore here. Discourse on Creation of Humanity or something?
Origins?
What is it?
I think it's the Discourse on the Origins of Humanity.
Discourse on the Origins of Humanity, translated by Sister Nona Harrison. And it's a fantastic book.
And I think it's just important for us to continually remember that we were created for the glory of God. And that's a great thing, but it's also the liturgical rhythm of the church. I mean, if we go to baptisms, if we go to funerals, if we go to memorial services, we know that I was created in the image, and we long for the restoration of that image. So yeah, there is the potential to debase and devalue human life. And there's also, this is a great thing, I loved going to Disneyland and Disney World, and then they got rid of all the really good attractions. One of them was GE's Carousel of Progress. And, you know, they talked about the newfangled washing machines and cook stoves and ice boxes, and it's just going to create so much time for leisure. And you know what? I think it did create time, but now I'm spending it looking at cat videos. And so we've got to remember that with that gift of time that God gives, that's the gift that God keeps giving us every second. You know, God gave us our great good look, my great good looks, at the beginning of my life, and that's it. But you know, time is, every second is a new gift from God, and we have to make sure that we use it for the glory of God. Yeah?
At what point do we refuse to conform to new definitions? Like virtual means really just digital and not virtual, or perception is reality. You know, where do we draw the line?
I don't know. We've got to be ever vigilant. You know what? It's because of growth. I'm pointing to the old chart, and growth was right there. It's one of those things where, and I I'm very sensitive to this when I'm dealing with undergraduates in the fraternity, because they are at one stage in their growth, and, you know, graduate students in theology are at a different stage in their growth. And so I think we have to be careful about, not only for ourselves, but for others. I think it was St. Nectarius. They say he was very, very generous and very merciful and forgiving with his spiritual children, but he was very harsh with himself. And so I think as long as we sort of keep in our mind the values, And we can allow a little bit of give and take for those who are not yet mature enough. That's my one answer. The other answer, we've got the Sunday of Orthodoxy coming up. I've got a friend who's a priest. I won't tell you where, but it's somewhere here in the technology world. And the Sunday of Orthodoxy, you've got the procession with icons. And he said for the first time in his life, someone was processing with an icon on an iPad. And it was like, what do you think about that? And I said, I don't like it. And then we saw and we talked about it. And there's a permanence. You know, when it's on wood, it's there. And even if you don't want, I've been looking at St. John over there. And even when I don't want to, he catches my eye. You know? And Jesus over there, he's not going to fade out in 20 seconds if I don't tap the screen. I mean, that there's that permanence that, in a sense, models for us, is an icon of the permanence of God and the permanence of the saints. And so I think for some things, like meanings of words, we can be a little bit lax. But when it comes down to something that's theological, the permanence of the saints, the permanence of Christ, and some of my students got very upset last year. When, no, I will not stand for an icon on an iPad. No, that's wrong. That's just, that's antithetical to the theology of the church. So you've got to find your own soapbox and stand on it.
But I think that with the coming generations and as the digital world advances and all that, this is a problem that I don't know how we're going to be able to live with, to solve. Because you and the older generations are still a little bit sane, but the following generations, this is going to be so much a part of their lives. I don't know how we can, in any way, get them to grasp what you're saying.
You know, you're absolutely right.
We cannot do it. But what is impossible for us is possible for the Holy Spirit. And I think the way we do it is we live the life. And I think that if people come in contact with people who are living a life in communion, that's impressive. Because I truly believe that humans without a vibrant relationship with God are somehow incomplete and somehow yearning. And so, yeah, you know what? The youngins might not get into it for a while. But there, I trust, will come a point when the Holy Spirit will guide them and connect them to the church. And like St. Nicholas Cabasila says, when their heart is filled with these good things, there won't be room for the rest. There won't be room for the silly, for the superfluous. No, I think that's great.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.